Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. My name is Jesse Brisnanein, and today I am pleased and grateful to have Lydia with us. Lydia is a doctor of chiropractic and health and a health fanatic with a BS in kinesiology from Westmont College. While in graduate school, she earned her CSCS USAW and Precision Nutrition Level 1 certification while personal training on the side, as well as training for her own goals. She most recently opened her own chiropractic office in Leavenworth, Washington to serve her community. She loves educating patients on the power of chiropractic nutrition and exercise. Lydia, thank you so much for being here. I am super grateful to have you. This is going to be awesome.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And just full disclosure, this is round two shot for us because my internet crapped out right when we got started. So here's hoping it'll work well for us this time. So Lydia, you and I were talking offline about the stress and the fear that's going on in the world right now and about how that's infecting and impacting people. And you were talking about some of the physiological and medical aspects of stress and fear and how that can really negatively impact our immune system and everything else. I was hoping you might speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll start from ground zero with our central nervous system, okay? And then we'll work our way up. With our central nervous system, we have two systems. One is called the parasympathetic system, and then the other one is called the sympathetic system. And in human language, the parasympathetic system is our rest and digest, and this is where all the healing, maintenance, and regulatory systems in our body, that's where it happens, and that's our ideal state where we want to be most of the time. And on the other side, we have the sympathetic system, which is our fight or flight. And this is the system that kicks in when we see the lion and need to run away, or we flip through our phone and see the news nowadays. And this is meant to be in short spurts of time, and we call that eustress because it's healthy stress to keep us alive, right? But nowadays we're in this place of having high stress levels over extended periods of time, and it's been at least a week at this point. And when we have when we're in the sympathetic system for extended periods of time, it creates an inflammatory response, and we call that distress. And what happens is that our cortisol spikes, and it's good for that short amount of time, but then over periods of time, it creates an inflammatory response, and it can dampen our immune system, which is the last thing we want right now. I think everybody is on the same page. An analogy I like to use is Wi-Fi. If you have multiple devices connected to your Wi-Fi, especially gamers, it's going to suck your Wi-Fi up. And it's the exact same concept with your immune system.
So I think that's really important for people to hear because we've gotten to be such a reactionary culture, right? Where we have these devices and I actually really want to ask you about this, and maybe if we have time, we will. I want to ask about the biological evolution of people with these devices now, what that looks like for spinal health. But we have these devices where they're instant. They buzz, they beep, they ding, whatever noise they make. And we are so conditioned where we'll stop everything. We look here and we disengage from the outside world and we engage in here. And this is just basically, especially right now, if you're dialed into any of the stuff going on in the world, it's one big, would it be cortisol igniter, almost, so to speak, in the sense of, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely.
What do people do with that? Like how, because I think you're dealing with habits, right? And then also I often look at fear as almost like it's almost a very intoxicating kind of drug in terms of an emotion, right? It's a one we socially bond over. When we're in like these distressed states, it seems like we can form identities around it. Like it becomes a, hey, like, you know, how stressed are you? How stressed am I? And we try to wind ourselves up to see who's more stressed out. But there's some serious consequences with this. So, I mean, we're talking compromised immune health, which is the worst thing happening. So somebody who's in that state, you know, and they may not even be aware of it because it's so familiar to them. What are some signs or symptoms they could start to identify to let them know, whoa, whoa, wait, wait a minute. Because I think framing this as immune health compromised could be really powerful to help people grasp this right now with the coronavirus hanging over our head and making them more susceptible. So what would people look for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think also we're just such a do culture. Like if you're not doing, then you're automatically lazy, right?
Yeah.
And by doing that, we don't allow ourselves to feel anymore or be present. And that's ultimately where it starts, is just being present with ourselves. And everything that's kind of out in the social media right now, like deep breathing, meditation, all of those things are actually really beneficial. And that's ground zero where you got to start, as well as good nutrition and movement. So
it's kind of tuning out the outside and really getting back to center. Be almost like be where your feet are, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And also connecting with other people too, because we're not used to being isolated as well. We're very social. Mm-hmm. We're social beings. And I think connecting with friends and loved ones at least once a day, that can really help too.
You know, I think that connection piece, I'm going to be curious to see how this plays out, but I think that this is going to end up being one of the best things ever for connecting. I think that at least my observation has been is usually when we go to lunch now, you and I go to lunch, but it's not two, it's four people, you know, you and I, and then we each have a place setting for our phone, right? And then our phones take command of any conversation that comes up. So you could be telling me something super cool. Jess, I just opened my practice and I'm literally, oh yeah, that's really great. That's kind of how our interactions are now. But now that we have those luxuries stripped away from us, it might give us that pause that we so desperately need to be where our feet are and really start to value this and how much it can impact our lives.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, now's the time to do the internal work or do the things that you've been trying to do, like those New Year's resolutions. Now's a great time. Mm-hmm. Like use this time, like be productive. You just got to switch your mindset, because your mindset can dictate your biology. And we already see this with fear as being an example. So.
Can you expand on that a little bit more? Because I think that's such an important point. Like how does mindset correlate to our biology? Like how does that express itself in there?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, the fear is kind of the stressor in this situation. So when we're in a fear situation for extended periods of time, and not like that short period of time, it can become inflammatory and it can spike our cortisol levels and dampen our immune system.
And if somebody's having an inflammatory response, how might they feel? Would it make them feel more lethargic? Would it make them feel more anxious? How would that manifest itself for them?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways. One, you can start to feel under the weather. You can start to feel sick. You can definitely feel anxious. What else? Everyone kind of has their own response to extended periods of time of stress. Personally, I have found when I have pushed my limits to stress, then I'll become forgetful of things, and that's very rare for me. I'll have weird like reactions, like or I'll get a tick in my eye, and so that's when I know I pushed it too far. But everyone is so different, and it manifests itself in different ways. And it can also depend on nutrient deficiencies too. If someone is deficient in a nutrient, they're gonna have different signs or symptoms than maybe someone who isn't.
You know, when you said the tick in your eye, I every now and then I'll get a random tick in my eye. I've never thought of why it would be, and I'm wondering if that might be why it is.
You never know.
Yeah, I'll pay attention now.
Yeah, take some deep breaths and see what happens.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought about that. it's such a subtle thing, but it seems like it comes on out of nowhere, but I know it's not coming out of nowhere, and I never drew those lines before. And so, I mean, that's to the point though, is like some of these things that we could be walking around this inflamed state right now and making our immune system more compromised and not even realizing it because we've gotten so conditioned to hanging out in this feared response.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they think of stress as being a physical thing, but it's also psychological as well. And you have control over your thoughts, and it's, you got to take responsibility for your health. You know, if you're not happy with where you're at, like, you're the only one who can make those changes for the better. So
I think that's such an important point, especially now, because unfortunately it seems our modern world, and it's spearheaded sometimes by many of our quote unquote leaders, and I won't turn this into a political thing, but what I will say is it seems like it's gotten to be where we're all raised with the sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt us. And it seems like our leadership, rather than taking responsibility, oftentimes they'd rather call each other names and blame one another, you know, the Democrats' fault, the Republicans' fault, or whatever it is. And I think that's so important to reiterate now, because what the trickle down effect with that is many of us will feel like we're just kind of these helpless beings unable to do anything, because leadership demonstrates to us consistently that we shouldn't take responsibility. But the truth is that it's only us that can take responsibility for our health and make these proactive changes to recognize that we might be in this flame space, to do something about it, to start to practice meditation, deep breathing, do some exercises, which I know you're going to run us through here in a few minutes, and do those proactive measures that can help us. How important is sleep for something like during this time, just in general, but then maybe let's broaden it to, especially right now in times of stress and fear and heightened anxiety, how important is sleep?
It's essential. That's when our body does the most healing. So if you're not sleeping well, then that's a large or very large problem, in my opinion. And there's various things that you can do to help sleep better. The first one I would say is if you're having racing thoughts or just like can't get your brain to shut off, I would journal for 10 minutes before you go to sleep. Just get all of those thoughts out on paper so it's not sitting in your brain. If you have a to-do list going through your brain, then just write it down, because then you don't have to worry about remembering it. It's on paper, so you can just look at that and do that. I'm also a big advocate of exercise, so making sure you're doing at least 30 minutes of movement a day. Emotion is lotion, is what they say up here.
I love that.
Yeah, do that. I would highly recommend magnesium. The majority of us are deficient, and it's really difficult to get the daily amount from food. Like for magnesium, we can eat almonds, but we would need to eat, I think the number is about 6,000 of them. So, unless you want to do that the rest of your life,
yeah, no.
I recommend a magnesium supplement. and magnesium does does a lot in the body, so I highly recommend it. I would recommend a magnesium glycinate in a capsule form. That'll help a lot as well. And also sleep aids, like holistic sleep aids, can be helpful as well. The only thing I would caution with that is making sure if you're on medication, clearing that with your primary, so it won't interfere with anything. And then also, if you have low blood pressure and the sleeping aid has valerian root in it, just be cautious, because it can have the opposite effect that you want it to. So.
With a magnesium supplement, is there a particular brand you recommend?
Let's see. Most health food stores, like Whole Foods, will have a good brand.
Okay.
I really like Pure Encapsulations. What other brands? Now is a good brand. Solaray. And the reason why I choose certain brands is because I know, like, they're doing their research, making sure I can absorb as much as possible, and it's just not going to be expensive pee, right?
Yeah.
So that's the goal. Make sure
you're expensive pee. Absorbing. I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I think, you know, so many people are doing the panic buy for vitamins and supplements right now, thinking it's going to boost their immune system, not looking into the ratios or that they've never done it before. And they're literally peeing out pennies, nickels, and dimes every time they go now.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, definitely with supplements, I do your research on the brand and making sure the form is good too. Like for example, with magnesium, the magnesium citrate, it can irritate people's GI tract and it can create some diarrhea, which I know we all love to have.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. And it just irritates the gut, and that's the last thing we want to do at this point. So magnesium glycinate is the way to go, in my opinion, for now. Yeah.
Yeah, especially in our toilet paper scarce culture right now. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you find out real quick
who has it. So. Yeah. Lydia, you had said you had, so I think a lot of people, more people are at home right now. More people may be sitting than they normally would. They might find themselves sitting on the couch, more sitting at home, not sure what to do. They might be sitting in like a makeshift office where it might not be, you know, I think more offices seem to have more ergonomic designs to them too, but now your home makeshift office might, it might literally be a desk with a protein bar box with a computer popped up on it. Not saying that I would be doing that right now, but just saying that that might be some of the situations people are going with, and spinal health is going to be imperative, right? Not just, I mean, especially going through a stressful time like this, but in general. And you said you had some really great go-to exercises you could walk us through for helping us maintain spinal health during this time.
Yeah, definitely. You only get one spine, like you can't replace it like a knee. So it's really important to take care of it. So we'll just start with the neck exercises.
Okay.
What I recommend to patients and what most chiropractors recommend to their patients and wish they did more at home is bringing a chin to your chest and then slowly looking back as far as you can up to the sky and doing that for about 10 reps each. And then also going side to side and just go slow. Like you don't need to headbang it or anything like that. Like don't need to show off your range of motion. And then if you have really great neck mobility, I'd also recommend neck rolls as well. So that's kind of coming, bring your chin down to your chest and then just slowly bringing it back and just rolling your head around. And since we're on the neck, I also recommend that patients practice cervical traction at home. So that's just really helping the neck structure in the back. And there's a simple way they can do this. You can just grab a hand towel from home and then just fold it up and kind of roll it up into a little circle here. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you'll be laying down on the floor or a hard surface, is you bring this and then you just put it right here and you just lay on the floor. Start for about 3 minutes and work your way up to 7 or 10 minutes at a time. Start with one time a day or until you can move up to twice a day in the morning or at night. And that'll just really help your cervical spine.
Oh, very cool. I've never seen that one before. So it's just placing it at the kind of base of your neck and letting your head tilt back and you're on the ground with it?
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yep. And if one towel isn't enough for you, you can always add more to make it thicker. But we want to avoid putting our head in deflection like this.
Okay.
So we really want to make sure it's more into extension. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you real quick before we move below. When I rotate, I get a little bit almost like a popping sound.
Yeah.
Is that?
It could be a variety of things. I haven't checked out your x-rays, so.
I don't think you'd be happy with my x-rays. I should send them to you. You can see they're not.
Yeah, it could be a variety of things. So I need to check out x-rays.
Okay.
So yeah. But nothing to be concerned about unless there's pain, and then you probably want to stop. So
okay, no pain.
Okay, good. That's awesome. Good sign. All right. So we'll go ahead and move to the low back exercises. And ideally, you want to do this on a Swiss ball. If you don't have a Swiss ball, that's fine. You can just do this in a chair at home. But what you're going to do is you're going to tilt your hips forward and back. And you'll do that 10 reps each side or each time. And then next, you'll tilt your hips to the right and to the left. And you'll do that 10 times each as well. And then for the last one, you're going to kind of rotate your hips like you're doing the hula. And you'll go 10. people know the hula, so that's the only analogy that works.
Yeah, I had to think about it for a second, but yeah, now I get it.
Yeah. So if you do 10 reps each way, that's a really great start.
Yeah, I can feel that really opening up a little bit too. I've been sitting a lot today, and that feels just that little bit feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. Motion, lotion.
How many times a day should we do those movements?
I mean, you can do them as much as you want. Okay. I'd start out with morning and at night, and just see how it goes and, go from there, and you can adjust it however you need to. So.
And is it helpful to do them when we're in that emotion of stress and fear, or is it better to wait until we kind of get that to calm down a little bit and then do them?
That's a great question. You know, if you're feeling stressed or if you're kind of having those feelings of fear, what I would do is I would do these motions and connect them to your breath. So kind of like yoga, just connecting the breath to the movement. So you might exhale, putting your chin to your chest, and then inhale, coming up. And just kind of go with whatever feels best for you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Lydia, if you could recommend people do one thing, like the most important thing that they could do for spinal health to, I guess this is going to be kind of a broad question, so you might have a couple answers to it, but to kind of encapsulate everything we talked about with sleep, with spinal health, with stress, is there one thing that would attack all three of them, or might there be one specific thing for each of them that would be, because I think sometimes people come away and they'll say, okay, this is great. Where do I start? Where specifically should I start? And people will get in that overwhelmed place, right? Well, do I start with the neck? Do I start with the lower back? Do I start with the hula hips? You know, where is it that people should start? And I guess it's hard because it might be different for everyone, but if we could get as general as it allows to give as many people as possible permission, where would that be?
I would start with breath work.
Really?
Yeah, because once you're with your breath, you have control of whether you're in the parasympathetic state or the sympathetic state. And so when you have control of your breath, you can think clearly, you can move better, and you can heal better.
And then for you, when you do breath work, do you use any sort of app or timer or anything like that to help with it? Or what does your breath work practice look like?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of apps out there, and everyone kind of has their preference. So I'm sure people have time to kind of search around for the one that resonates best with them at this time, which is a great thing to put on your to-do list.
Yep.
I'm definitely more simple. Like, so what I like to do is I like to inhale for four counts, and then hold for four counts, and then exhale for four counts, and hold for four counts, and just do that until I feel more calm or grounded.
I feel different just doing it that one repetition of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can instantly feel it.
Yeah.
That's powerful. So it's almost like too, maybe I think for all of you who might be out there and you're thinking, okay, I get that. Like I recognize I might be burning myself out. I might be overly stressed. Cortisol levels are up. I'm in inflammation. Set a reminder. Use this thing for something other than text messaging and set reminders on there. And I used to, whenever I'm learning a new habit, and if I had to do a habit regularly, I would set a reminder anywhere from once a day to once every hour. And it would go off and just say, remind me of this, remind you of this, remind you of this. So if you find yourself in that really stressed state and you need to get back to your breath, it would maybe start with once a day, start with three times a day, start with six times a day, every other hour. As Lydia said, many of us have time now. And again, one of the opportunities with this time, and again, embrace it as an opportunity, as scary as it may be, this could really be one of the most extraordinary opportunities for you to really embrace your health and make it a priority. I think that one of the things we're seeing right now is with so much panic is people are fearful of their mortality and recognize that we can do lots of things to set ourselves up to be as prepared as possible for these things, whether it's our nutrition or it's our mindfulness, it's our breath work, it's getting ourselves out of stress and fear, because not only does that make our immune system compromised, but it sets us up to make us very vulnerable for a host of other health problems. And so really, if you were to have this be a mantle of how can I make this time, how can I seize this as an opportunity to become the master of my health, starting with breath work and working your way out from that and spinal mobility and everything, what would that look like for you? It would be a powerful thing for all of us to take on.
Well, can you go over the question again?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I had a question, if I was just kind of, I think I was just tangented, went on a tangent there about
it. Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. I completely agree. So just kind of tips to kind of stay or optimize.
Yeah, if you had, do you find that, yeah, maybe that would be a really good, it's like, do you find that there's, I'm sure you have lots of tips that you'll pass out to patients and whatnot, but do you find that there's a tip or a strategy that seems to be the most helpful for people to stick with it?
Oh, goodness. Everyone's different, and I always try to meet patients with where they're at. So if you're at the point of like just starting your wellness journey, then start with the breath work. Start with that point. If you're more advanced and you move regularly and you eat well, keep doing those things, but just focus on staying in a state of rest and digest instead of fight or flight at this time.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Lydia, everybody's at home right now. Well, not everybody, but I read upwards of a billion people are shelter in place, seeing lockdown, quarantine, whatever the terminology is. And they have more time in their four walls than they may have normally had. So if you had to recommend one podcast people listen to, what would that be?
Yeah. I really enjoy Meathead Hippie by Emily Schramm.
Meathead Hippie?
Yeah.
What a cool title.
Yeah. So she works out regularly, and she's all about holistic nutrition, and has really great things to offer clients or just the general public, and great resources of maybe places where to start with their wellness journey. So that's a wealth of knowledge right there.
Okay.
That I'd recommend.
Book you'd recommend people read.
What book? I love anything by Ryan Holiday or Brené Brown. So I'd say Ego is the Enemy, and Daring Greatly. So.
Okay. Right. Very good. And movie or documentary you'd recommend people read or watch?
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. I Let's see. I just saw the ad for, is it called The Lion King on Netflix? Like, this guy collects big cats or big lions. So I'm very curious.
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody posted about that and they said it was really good.
Right? Yeah, that's what people are saying. So I might add that to the list. I'm not sure. But I really enjoyed the documentary Heal, and I think that's on Netflix too. So
that's cool.
I'll keep you updated about The Lion King.
Yeah, give us the Lion update. And I think Heal seems to be a few people, and I think Heal's extremely appropriate for this time now too.
Yeah.
Everyone, as always, you definitely want to rewatch this. I think Lydia really brought to light some even bigger issues here that we may not be aware of because we fall into such habits. And we live in a world right now, and you've all heard me say this before, that I think fear and mediocrity are two of the biggest businesses in the world. And we're seeing those on steroids right now. And the byproduct of that is our health and it being compromised. And I think what Lydia outlined there about becoming aware of cortisol and how your body becomes inflamed is so important. Because the very thing that you're trying to prepare yourself for, being healthy and avoiding the coronavirus, is the very thing you're setting yourself up to be more susceptible for by being in this inflamed and unhealthy state. So we really want to get back to the basics, get where your feet are, do the breath work, do the things, and work through the spine and just slow down and be present. I absolutely love that. And integrating some sleep things and sleep strategies and everything else, this was absolutely incredible, Lydia. Thank you so, so much for being here and sharing with us and sticking with me with the technical difficulties too. I appreciate that.
Anytime. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.